In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There is a cancer that has become very common, a cancer that is to be feared above all others because, left untreated, it is fatal 100% of the time. It is a cancer that sometimes progresses slowly and at other times very rapidly. Either way, it causes horrible pain. Like so many diseases, it can easily overtake a person's life. Because it damages and affects every part of those who suffer from it, this cancer places terrible stress on marriages, families, friendships, in the workplace, and in communities. To watch a person, especially a loved one, in its throes is itself a horribly painful experience. The good news is that this cancer is treatable, and it is actually curable. But there is one problem with this treatment. A lot of people, most people, I would say, do not take advantage of it. You see, there are a lot of people who refuse to admit that they're sick. Despite their degree of pain, how weak they become, how difficult their life is, how emotionally and spiritually disfigured they are, they will insist that they do not need doctors. They do not need any sort of medication or treatment because there is nothing wrong with them. In their own estimation, they are just fine. Now, the better part of humanity would judge such a person to be a fool. Nevertheless, many of those who have this terrible, deadly disease choose to live in a state of denial, and that is where they die. There is a second problem concerning this sure remedy. There are a lot of people who will not admit that, who will admit rather that they are sick, but at the same time, they say it's really not as bad as others think. It reminds me of a day when I was out running. If you can picture me doing that, my legs started aching right below my knee. And to keep this in perspective, you need to realize that running or jogging, as it's often called, is a miserable thing to do. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Being in pain is a part of it. Pain is unavoidable. So this particular day, there was an unusual pain that started in my leg. So I stopped for a few minutes and walked around, pacing back and forth, hoping to shake it off, but I could not walk it off, as they say. So I limped back home and took it easy for a couple of days to avoid stressing it. And after 5 days, it had not gotten better. So I thought, finally, I need to go see the doctor. And the doctor wasn't in the room for 2 minutes before he handed me a set of crutches and told me to keep my weight off that leg and then go get an x-ray. I saw him about an hour later, and he looked at me and shook his head and said, "You youpers are all the same. You've been walking around on a fractured leg for the last 5 days." I said in response, "Well, that's probably why it hurts." I was convinced that despite the pain, there really wasn't anything to worry about. Yes, there was something wrong, but there wasn't anything to worry about. And that attitude could have resulted in very serious damage had the bone separated. There is a third kind of foolish person who accepts that there really is something wrong in their life, perhaps tremendously wrong. but then decides that the course of treatment the doctor prescribes is not the best way to go. And so they begin searching. They look in magazines, they look at the internet to find some sort of secret cure that the medical profession is hiding from us. And we know the kind. They get all excited when they find or read about a doctor in Honduras who is using crushed mango with some other concoction to cure high blood pressure or memory loss, perhaps arthritis or diabetes, and all sorts of things imaginable. And of course, it does no good. Finally, there are the unfortunate people who are so controlled and crippled by fear that they do nothing at all. They know something is wrong. They know it can be better, but they cannot bear the thought of what truly effective treatment incurs. You see, although the treatment is 100% effective, it is slightly painful, but not terribly so, and it is very short-lived. But the idea of the discomfort involved is enough to make a lot of folks avoid the one thing, the only thing that can save them. Now, in case you haven't figured it out yet, this being a church, me being a priest, and Advent being a penitential season, the cancer I'm talking about is sin. The twofold cure for that cancer, my friends, is the sacrament of penance, and along with that frequent Holy Communion, always, of course, received worthily. We see then that there are four very foolish kinds of people, those who deny that they are sinners and deny that they need forgiveness. Those who acknowledge they do sin, but think their sins are not of great consequence. Those who profess that they are sinners, but they seek a spiritual remedy of their own making. And those whose fear is so crippling that they do nothing about it and live their lives overcome by feelings of guilt. To those who deny that they are sinners, I say simply open your eyes and your ears. Throw aside your pride. Stop living in illusion. Live in truth, not lies. Come out of the darkness and into the light. To those who think their sins are no serious thing, I say, read the account of the fall of man in the book of Genesis. Read how one small sin robbed Adam and Eve of their innocence. How one small sin damaged their relationship with God and one another and all of creation. How one small sin begot countless greater sins and led to death of both body and soul. How an account of one small sin, one small act of disobedience, our very human nature was corrupted and all mankind enslaved, unable to redeem itself or escape the bonds of sin and death. To those who acknowledge their sinfulness and their need of forgiveness, yet seek their own path to forgiveness, I ask, and I'm sorry if this sounds rude, I do not mean to be, but I ask, who are you, or who are any of us, to determine for ourselves the manner in which Almighty God is to forgive us? Who are we to tell God how to forgive us? Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the price for the forgiveness of sin. He shed his blood for the redemption of sinners. He rose victoriously from the grave, and he bestowed then the power to forgive sin on his church and only on his church. Receive the Holy Spirit, he said. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain, they are retained. My friends, we cannot forgive our sins. But by the precious blood of Jesus Christ and through the ministry of the Church, you and I and every repentant sinner can be forgiven, our sins wiped away completely, our souls given new life. And finally, to those who stay away from the Lord's sacrament of forgiveness because of fear, I say this, dear friend, do not be afraid. Look upon the cross and see there a Savior whose love for you is so great, whose longing for your freedom from sin is so tremendous that he shed his very blood and gave his life for you. You have nothing to fear from him. You will not shock or anger his priests. We too are sinners. We are but unworthy instruments of his grace. I cannot speak for every priest, but only for myself. For more than 35 years, I have never gotten angry with or raised my voice to a penitent. I've never said a single word to belittle a penitent. During all these years of priesthood, I have heard the confessions of great sinners and of saints as well. There have been those who have committed horrible sins, unthinkable sins, and saints, both young and old alike, whose innocence and holiness are enough to have left me in complete awe. Regardless of who they are, regardless of their sins, every time I hear a confession, I am genuinely humbled, and every priest I know would say the same thing. So every time I finish hearing confessions, I give thanks to God for the wonderful work that I am privileged to be a part of, if only in a small way. So do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of the priest, and do not be afraid of God. All of you who have not taken advantage of the sacraments, especially those for whom it has been too long, do not be afraid. Come in this holy season and make a good confession. Be forgiven and remade, restored to holiness, so that you might then receive Holy Communion worthily and live with God's in God's holiness and peace. Dear friends, do not let any form of doubt, of pride, or fear separate you from the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Do not let them keep you from having a most holy, joyful, and blessed Christmas. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.